Hi, my name is Deb Quintel. Today I am speaking with Professors Ron Brown and Joe Groman from Shepherd Broad Law Center at the Nova Southeastern University. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Deb.
We're talking about rule against perpetuities today. And I think the first question is, can you tell me what the rule is? Let's just lay it out there.
Briefly, the rule is that no interest is good unless it must vest, if ever, within some life and being, plus 21 years. It is a one-sentence rule that has taken on a great magnitude of interpretation and application over the years.
Okay, and we're going to get to that interpretation and magnitude level in a minute. Basically, why has the rule against perpetuities achieved such legendary proportions in terms of fear and confusion for students over the years?
I think what really tends to confuse people is the rule deals with any possibility whatsoever, rather than probabilities. So that would go contrary to common sense in a lot of circumstances, and therefore it develops traps for those who don't prepare for possibilities.
Well, how do you mean that students should prepare for it?
It's not just the students, it's the attorneys who are preparing instruments and preparing different future interests that are involved. And if you don't think through every single step and try to deal with every possible permutation, there is something that you will overlook and therefore violate the rule.
So this is still an important doctrine to learn. I think there's the misconception maybe that this is old-fashioned.
Well, one of the things that I hear frequently from people today is that the statutory rule against perpetuities has essentially done away with the common law rule against perpetuities. And that is simply not the case. What the statute really has done is limited the future interest to which the rule will apply, but there's still a rule, although it might be a statutory rule. And one of the first ways to satisfy the statutory rule is to satisfy the common law rule.
One of the problems with the rule is that it's an excellent example of medieval thinking. Medieval people did not deal with problems directly the way we're trained to today. They dealt with them in a roundabout method. And so where today we might say the problem is that a future interest might remain unvested for too long, so let's put a time limit on it. That would not be the medieval way to approach a problem. So in using this medieval approach, the rule is described as I just said, no interest is good, so they don't tell you exactly what they're talking about, which interests, and they don't tell you exactly the effect of violating the rule, and they don't make a simple application to solve it. Now, the problem is in trying to simplify the rule in modern times. The approach has been to use people who are imbued with the law, the old rule, so they use the same kind of medieval approach. And so to simplify a rule that is one sentence long, the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws have given us a uniform rule that is 2 pages of small print, or 4 pages of regular typing. And that's what makes it, the medieval approach and the continuation of a medieval approach is what makes it difficult for law students and lawyers and hard to apply.
Well, does the rule against perpetuities change state by state?
Generally, no, but it could, depending upon the statute that's adopted. But if they're using the common law rule, essentially there are about 6 interests to which the common law rule would apply, and that would be pretty much across the board, although there are some variations, but they're minor.
So what makes this most difficult for students to master? What tips would you have to pass on for them to learn this?
Well, my first suggestion would be to get the Cali lessons that Professor Joseph Groman has authored and use those, because they take the right approach. They break the rule down into its components and then teach the students how to understand each component and apply it to a fact situation. And that's what you need to do to solve the problem. If what you try to do is use a modern approach, which is there's a problem, there must be a direct solution, that's not the way the rule works, and so you are definitely going to end up frustrated.
And also, I think there's something else that tends to cause a problem for the students or for anybody who's studying in this area, and that is that they fail to take the first step that we all have to do. and that is understand future interests very clearly and understand the contingencies that might be involved in those future interests. That's the very first step. Without those, there's no way that you can deal with any of the permutations of the rule against perpetuities. And so students seem to move into this area without having locked down those interests, the present and the future interests.
So basically, students have to be told and accept that this rule is every bit as difficult as they have been warned that it is, and that therefore they have to take an organized, methodical approach and have the patience to work it through step by step. There's no shortcut. There's no easy fix. No sane modern person would design the rule this way. And so when they get into it, they think this must be insane, and therefore there's either I don't understand or there's something wrong with me. No, it's simply a different way of thinking, a different way of approaching problems that we are still using for historical reasons rather than logical ones.
Do you think it'll ever change?
Well, in some jurisdictions, not many, it's simply been abolished. That is one way to attack the problem. But there are legitimate interests in keeping some control over the death grip of a testator or someone who wants to control the devolution of title to property beyond their death. And so there are legitimate interests backing up the rule. The question really is what's the most effective way of doing that, and that's where we seem to struggle.
The other thing is as they've tried to approach this in a medieval fashion by continuing to limit the scope of the rule, what this does is marginalize for students the value of learning the rule. If they don't think it's going to apply many times, it's not worth the effort to figure it out. Well, that means we'll have a lot of students who have never figured out the rule, which makes it a trap on a bar exam or in real life practice, a trap for the person who hasn't succeeded in learning the rule. We have to remember that the rule against perpetuities gained prominence in a famous case in which the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court, for whom Hastings Law School is known, messed up his own will by violating the rule against perpetuities. And a later California case which said that the rule is so difficult that not understanding it wouldn't be malpractice, because what reasonable lawyer would be able to master it? Of course, while that may satisfy in California, it won't be enough in other jurisdictions, but it gives you some of the lore behind the rule against perpetuities and why it has achieved this sort of legendary status of impossibility and frustration for law students and lawyers alike.
But it is manageable if you approach it from a methodical standpoint and realize you need to know this when you go into practice.
Yes, and if you work through the Cali lessons on the rule against perpetuities, the common law rule against perpetuities, and the uniform statutory rule against perpetuities, you can achieve that mastery. The path is there. It is laid out for people to follow. If they follow the lessons, there's no reason they won't become experts at it. And because so few other people will be experts, that will be an additional plus for them.
The bottom line in dealing with the rule is that there's a logical approach to it. The difficult part is trying to figure out what that logic is and then putting it together in a sequence where you can build on that sequence. I find even though we may go through all of the steps in the Cali lesson, that by the time we get to the point where we ask the question as to whether the contingency might vest or fail within a certain time frame, the students have forgotten what the contingency is. So, and that's part of it. You just have to really discipline yourself to be logical and make your steps connect with one another.
The other thing is that without using that methodical approach, there is no possible way to understand the rule. And that's a hard thing to accept for people. There must be another approach, but there isn't.
That sounds like great advice. Any final words?
Don't give up. Keep working at this, even if it seems like it's taking a perpetuity.
That makes sense.
Excellent. Thank you both very much for your time.
Thank you.